We've got Brett Blakeney. Blakeney's joining us from Encore Golf, and they were really sort of a hot topic coming out of this. And you would think that every possible iteration of golf ball has been out there and everybody's seen it. Nope, they've got a new one. So joining us now from Encore Golf, Brett Blakeney. Brett, welcome into
the
show.
How you doing?
Ah, there he is. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, first, coming out of probably the craziest merchandise show that we've ever seen, are you tired today?
Yeah, my voice doesn't usually sound this raspy, but as you can imagine, it is three nonstop days of talking and promoting and, you know, creating awareness about a product that certainly garners quite a bit of interest.
Well, Brett, the raspy is working for you. So, you know, I was thinking maybe you needed a switch to something with a filter, but it sounds good.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
So, Brett, you're the co-founder of Encore Golf. And, you know, I'm going to take us back, and I'm actually going to ask you to help us go through the history of the golf ball evolution. It's been, you know, always has been the quest for 100 years to have something that is longer, straighter, softer, you know, more durable. You know, everybody wants a golf ball created by the guy who sold Jack his beanstalk beans.
Right.
Take us through where the golf ball has been and how it led to what you guys are doing at Encore.
Sure. I mean, it has. It's gone through several iterations. You know, it started off with feathers. You've had wound rubber. You've had the rubber bands, the feathery, the Bellotta. You've had all these things. But the innovation in the last 30 years has really been focused around, you know, the aerodynamics of the dimple pattern. The unfortunate thing is, you know, innovation has not been something that I think has been overly welcomed, you know, by the governing golf gods for a long time, which may be something that has hurt. And so we really intended on bringing something to the market that, you know, a piece of equipment that you use on every single shot, and the only one that you do use on every shot is a golf ball. And we wanted to create something that really was going to be directed toward the mass majority of golfers. And those men and women, you know, everybody knows the frustration of trying to keep a golf ball down the fairway and keep it straight and keep it out of the woods. And that is part of the thing about golf that can be frustrating to others. It's a very difficult sport. It's a beautiful sport. It's a wonderful sport, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of patience and a lot of hard work. So rather than, you know, fix everybody's swing, we said, let's fix the golf ball. And that's what we've done by inserting a hollow steel core, a 304 grade A stainless steel center.
Yeah, and obviously compliance is one of the things that comes into play with when any innovation always runs into compliance. And it's, you know, innovation has two barriers, I think, generally, legal. And, legal, financial, and compliance. And in golf, having everything be, you know, USGA and RNA, and everybody likes it and says it's legal. I mean, there could be really great golf balls that are completely illegal, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've had golf balls come out that were just never going to be approved. A Polaro one is a great example. It's an extremely straight ball, extremely straight, but they're never going to be approved. And that was one of the concerns when we developed the ball, was we wanted to make something that absolutely adhered to the five quantifiable metrics, but we wanted to and make sure that it was USGA conforming. But we also understood that this kind of differentiation in design parameters has not occurred in over 30 years. So even though it may, you know, meet those metrics, we knew we were still going to get some pushback, and we did. It actually took us two rejections over 2 years and an appeal to the Executive Standards Committee to bring, you know, our golf ball onto the conforming list. And, I mean, that was a great day for us. We knew that the business and of Encore was really something that we could take to the next level, having that conformance status, because every time we do a tournament, a demo day, a PGA show, the very first question is, this isn't legal. Is it conforming?
Well, yeah, because it's very, very different.
Right, exactly. And to be honest, the first rejection we felt was purely based on the way it looked. It was very discriminatory in our eyes. We said, we don't understand why this is not allowed, just because it provides, you know, performance benefits to the majority of golfers. This is good for the game. This is something that's needed. And like I said, it did take a couple years, and it took a lot of soul searching and a lot of, you know, determination, but it paid off. You know, the Executive Standards Committee agreed, they overturned it, and it actually was the catalyst for only the second rule change in 100 years. And they sent that notice out to manufacturers as a result of our fight, and that was that now rigid cores of 0.9 inches and smaller are permissible and conforming to the USGA standards. So the only other time that happened was the liquid pour. So it's pretty outstanding for us as a small company out of Buffalo, New York, to be able to do something that the billion-dollar Goliaths weren't even able to do.
Well, and you've got shade tree inventors and guys out there trying to come up with stuff in their garage. And give us a look behind the curtain. You said the first rejection just seemed to be because it was just too different. I mean, is the onus on you to prove that it's legal, or is the onus on them to prove that it's illegal?
No, it's on us. And the reason being is because prior to the five quantifiable metrics being the only set of guidelines that would determine a piece of equipment's legality, in 2008 they added a subjective rule, and that was at their discretion, they can decide whether your golf ball is of customary and traditionary form and make. So that first rejection, we had sent it in, submitted it, and they had sent back a rejection in less than a week's time. Now, the testing itself takes at least a week, so we know that it wasn't even tested. And we were basically told this will never be on the conforming list. So then we kind of regrouped and tried to figure out why. And it went through a similar rejection. They're saying, you know, this kind of improvement could be detrimental to the game, which we felt was the wrong way to look at this. We felt, you know, this isn't a laser-guided missile. It's not like you can't have a bad shot. This is something that provides a benefit. And every piece of equipment that has come through golf was meant to do just that. In fact, all we've done was take the exact same type of evolution that went through with the golf clubs, you know, persimmon wood to solid steel to hollow steel, perimeter weighted irons, perimeter weighted putters. We just did that to the golf ball. So once we realized that it was a subjective rule, you know, we pointed out there were instances where every piece of material in our golf ball had been used in equipment throughout the game of golf's history. In fact, there was actually 13 balls on the conforming list back in the 60s and 70s with solid steel cores. Now, the solid steel did nothing for the physics, you know, the perimeter weighting, had nothing to do with what our golf ball does. All we did, though, was remove that interior, make it a hollow core, because that was not about adding distance or adding weight. It was about creating a perimeter-weighted golf ball that would reduce side spin on a miss hit and create a third component of spin on a miss hit, which we call gyroscopic or rifle spin, same thing you see with a bullet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you really think that the first rejection, could it be just to try to get people to go away? Like, does everyone get rejected with their first thing if it's just too innovative? And they're like, okay, these guys are not going to have enough dough. They're not going to have enough time. They're not going to have enough research to bring it back for a second go. Just let's hope these guys go away. And you guys didn't go away.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to make assumptions. It's just kind of the feeling that we had. We felt that it was such a quick rejection, such a knee-jerk reaction, that we did feel like, you know, maybe this is kind of an old boys club and we're not welcome right now.
Right.
So we felt like we were going to really have to fight our way in and buy that golden ticket to be able to, you know, withstand, you know, the kind of rejection and persevere through it so that we could maintain our journey and our dream of having a career in the golf industry. But I think as years are going by and more companies are coming through with really dynamic innovation and different pieces of golf equipment, it's starting to maybe infiltrate the minds of the powers that be that, you know, innovation is good and it's needed and it's what the consumer wants. You know, I often believe that whether it's a golf ball company or it's a governing body of a sport, that they shouldn't try and convince a consumer or an audience what they want. They should listen to the audience and develop what they want. And that's what we've really tried to do. We've seen, you know, how the game of golf has gone down due to its frustration and how hard it is to keep it in the fairway. And we want the kids sticking with it and not having one bad round of golf and saying, I just don't have the time or the effort to put this in. We want something that provides an, you know, a little bit of a buffer and gives somebody the confidence when they step up to the tee that, hey, you know what, if I don't have a perfect shot, doesn't mean I'm going to have to go diving, you know, to get it. It's going to be something that I can still enjoy and keep the ball a little bit more online and in track.
Yeah, now we're talking to Brett Blakely from Encore Golf and your innovative new ball design. And to try to get a sense, at first I would encourage our listeners to go out to EncoreGolf.com and check out the technology page. There's a great cutaway of this ball because as we talk about hollow metal core and all that stuff, it's a little bit hard to describe. But, you know, what you have to imagine is the white outer core of the surface of the ball is the same, modified a little bit with 392 dimples, which should increase lift and distance. And then inside that is fairly expected polymer. But then inside of that, at the very core, what we're talking about is a hollow ball of metal ball. That is really hard to imagine is legal. I'm excited that it's legal. I'm excited for you guys that you got through it. But imagine the ball with a cutaway. And so inside is almost like a mixing bowl if you cut it in half. If you imagine a steel mixing bowl, a very, very tiny steel mixing bowl. And what does that do? The fact that it's not hot, not solid, but hollow. What does that do to help you get the weight to the perimeter? And what's the effect on the performance?
Absolutely. The easiest way to explain kind of the physics behind the technology and why it works. And it's so funny when I explain to somebody at a show, at a tournament, the minute I tell them this, you just see the light bulb go off and say, you know what, that's actually not that complicated. So if you think about a figure skater, for instance, and they go into a spin, when their arms and legs are held tight to their body, they speed up and they, you know, they're twirling quite so fast. The minute they want to start to slow down and come to a stop, what do? They put their arms and their legs outward. They're pushing the weight to the outside, to the perimeter. So that comes into the same effect when you miss hit a golf ball and it's on that arch to the left or the right, that hook or a slice, that's because the side spin is not decaying at a very fast speed. What the perimeter weighting does is the same thing the legs and arms being outward does. It causes a side spin to decay at a much quicker rate off the, you know, the longer shots. The longer it's in air, the quicker the side spin decays. So that's what provides that benefit and maintains a little bit more of that accuracy. But that's not the only part, because when you hit a ball, it's got backspin and it's got side spin. Part of the reason you don't get what's called rifle spin or gyroscopic spin is because the energy from your club face when you strike the ball will go in one end, right through the middle, through all that rubber and out the other side, putting it on that particular spin axis. What happens with ours is that rubber will compress, so the energy makes it from the part where the club face strikes it. But once it reaches that interior 304 grade A stainless steel core, that core will not compress. Mm. So once it gets to that point, the energy has nowhere to go but actually around it. And that's where you get that gyroscopic and rifle spin. Same thing you see with a bullet, same thing you see with a spiral football. Those two components, the perimeter weighting and rifle spin paired together, has shown with robotic testing. And by the way, we use Golf Labs by Gene Perrini. It's the industry standard. You know, the big guys use the exact same facility with robotic swing arm. It showed a 20 to 30% tighter shot dispersion over the top nine balls on the market.
Brett, last question before we let you go. Obviously, where you're at right now, your new golf balls are kind of in the new phase of product development in terms of like the new. My question is, how are golfers and athletes looking at this product? Are they resisting change to it? Because anytime you see an athlete use a product for so long, they don't want to go to a new product as soon as it hits the market. They're not sure of kind of what the benefits are to them. Has that been an issue for you in developing this and trying to push this product, or has it been a really good receptive type of product for you?
No, overwhelmingly receptive. And I'm not just saying that. You know, it's a great product because the visual of that cutout, as you described before, it was actually a mixing bowl, an open mixing bowl. I love that. I'm going to use that next time.
I'll let you use that.
People, they look at it and they're just like, come on, what the heck is this? I've never seen anything like it. In fact, we have a display that cuts our other competitor balls in half, and it shows that in the interior, it looks all the same. Each ball looks the same.
Right.
When you see something so drastically different, the curiosity is absolutely there. The fact that it does do what it says, but we've also made so many iterations to where it's not a, you know, solid rock. It's got the feel. It's got great spin around the greens. The putting is phenomenal because it keeps the tour aligned. There's no skidding off the putter face. It's been really nice. And we've actually developed it to a point where it's not only for the mid to high handicap golfer. It is also a beneficial ball for guys that have the higher swing speeds. Mm. Now, that being said, we also know that there isn't one ball that is meant for everybody. There are people that hate the Pro V1. There are people that love it. There are people that hate the Bridgestone E6. There are people that love it. So what we did this year coming to this show is we launched the first of two new balls. The first is a two-piece construction. It's got a soft cell technology never before seen. It is a rubber core ball that's meant to compete, you know, with the Callaway Chrome. And now we're also developing our tour ball, which will also feature a hollow metal core. And our whole philosophy is that we want to bring out the best in breed for each of those types of golf balls. Our Avon is a 65 compression. Our MA 1.0, the hollow metal core that we've been talking about all morning, that's a 95 compression. Our tour ball will be a four-piece urethane 85 compression. We're really set on being the innovators from core to cover.
Well, Brett, before we let you go, real quickly, how do our listeners find it?
Yeah, so we have been actually penetrating the pro shops and greengrass and specialty accounts like Golf Headquarters for over about a year and a half. So we're in several hundred pro shops, but you can also find us online, and that's Encore Golf with an O, not an E. So it's www.oncoregolf.com. And not only is the MA 1.0 with hollow metal core available, but on February 4th, our new two-piece Avant that was unveiled at the PGA show this year, which is our distance ball, will be available online as well.
All right, Brett. Well, thanks for joining us. Congratulations and good luck going forward.
Oh, I appreciate it very much for the platform. It was great talking to you guys. Thanks so much.
Take care. Have a good weekend.
All right. You as well.